Dear Lord, we just want to give you thanks to you. Lord, it's already a new year. It's so strange. Sometimes we feel that we are still in 2023. But Lord, as we enter into the new year, we ask your blessings be with us, Lord. And it's appropriate that we preach from Ephesians 1, where we see your blessings richly pour out on your church and on all your people. And Lord, as we many of us could have struggled through 2023, but Lord, it's a new year, it's a new beginning, Lord. But even though it's the same with us, Lord, we know, Lord, you will be with us in this new year, and you give us, you strengthen us and give us wisdom to know how to walk this year. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. First PPT, please. Yeah, I don't know if how many of you are old enough to see this Broadway musical, huh? I'm big on Broadway. My spiritual son is big on opera, and one of the earliest Broadway musicals that transformed everybody's interest in Broadway is this Fiddler on the Roof. It's about the Jewish community in Russia, and there's one episode, there's one small clip when a student came to this rabbi of this tiny Jewish community in Russia and asked concerning how to bless the Tsar of Russia. And so we saw tradition in the background, tradition, okay? And the student came up to the beloved rabbi and say, Rabbi, may I ask you a question? And the rabbi said, of course, Lubitsch. Okay, and so let me say, is there a proper blessing for the Tsar? A proper blessing for the Tsar? Everybody in the background was laughing, thinking about how to bless the Tsar of Russia. But roar in laughter, and then the rabbi think of it and say, a blessing for the Tsar? Of course. May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. And then the background, like everyone dance in unison. Okay, so today we're talking about a blessing. One of the oldest blessing in the world is very simple: shalom, peace to you. Okay, say shalom, peace to you, to everyone around you. This is one of the ancient blessings. Now, today I'm going to talk about Ephesians 1. My best friend in church is Hartman. Some of you may know him. Hartman Chang is one of the pastors, associate pastor of the church. And last month, he preached on Ephesians 2, verses 1. And I said, oh, where is Ephesians 1? He said, I thought about it, but Ephesians 1 is too hard, so I'm going to preach on Ephesians 2. I say thanks and no thanks, so I'm going to try to go the hard way. And Ephesians, as you know, is part of the called prison epistles. And in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul tells that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. And Ephesians 4, verse 1, he said he's a prisoner for the Lord. And Ephesians 6, verse 20, he says, I am an ambassador in chains. So this is the background of Ephesians. And another thing about Ephesians 1, Ephesians is the longest sentence in the Bible. You look on verse 3, it goes all the way up to verse 14. The longest sentence without breathing. Without stopping, just one sentence. And to make it even worse, another long sentence in the Bible is in verses 14, 15 to 23. So there are two lengthy sentences. We're going to try to see what Paul is saying. Now, and today we're going to, into the new year, okay? Into the new year, we think about how are we to puny humans like us, how are we to bless the Lord, as in the Bible says, and how does the Lord bless us in return, and how are we to bless other people around us? Okay, so we'll go straight into it. In verse, the first point I want to say is that we need to praise God in testimony. Now, this praise in Hebrew is bless, in all translations except NIV is praise. Okay, so let's start reading. Because of time, we'll just read verse 3 onwards. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, I'm not sure if you guys like Cantonese songs from Hong Kong. I don't catch up. But when I turned on my YouTube, suddenly I saw this year's awards for the best song of last year. And I look at it because there's a young guy called Hins Cheung. Cheung, what's his Chinese name? Cheung what Hin? Cheung Keng Hin. Okay, see, I don't listen to him. But this year, at the first day of the year, they gave up this Song of the Year award, okay? And you have all these celebrated stars of the Hong Kong music scene, and his rivals include Mirror, okay? All the Mirror young guys, whatever their name. What's their name? Forgot. One is Kyung Tao, okay? One is Ian, okay? So they have all these young guys vying with this Hins Cheung, who is 10 years older than them, okay? And then when they announced the award, everybody thought this Mirror guy should get the award. But the most favorite male singer of the year was given to Hins Cheung. Who is he? I think the middle one, right? The young guy on the right is the Mirror guy, okay? So they gave it to him. Now, who is this Hins Cheung? He's a surprising, very good Hong Kong story, because he came from Guangzhou as a young teenage and came to Hong Kong and toiled in the music industry for 23 years. Now, when he came, he's just as a normal teenager from China. But this year, he won the favorite Hong Kong Male Singer of the Year. But more impressive, do you know what he said at the end? The last words. He raised up his trophy and said, "So I'm going to give this Jiang Bui, this cup, and all glory and praise to my Heavenly Father." Can you imagine? A teenager came to Hong Kong, accepted Christ, and remained in the music industry. And when he won, he gave all glory and praise to God. It's very hard when you are Christian in the music industry to say that you are Christian, because they expect a lot of things from you when you say you are a Christian. Now, so Paul begins in verse 3, praise to the glory of God. Praise is, this is a Greek word which corresponds to our English word eulogy. When we go to a funeral, there's a word called eulogy. What do you call it in Cantonese? Yeah, something like that. Where people come out, eulogy means, you means good. Logy means logic. Eulogy means good speaking, well speaking of the deceased. So Paul used this word to say, we praise God, speak well of God in his letter. The first thing, besides the greetings in verse 2, he acknowledged all blessings are from God. Okay? And he says that, and this is wonderful, and in this wonderful epistle, verse chapter 1, he tells us why all these blessings from God, and use the past tense, present tense, and the future tense to tell you about God's spiritual blessings in Christ. Okay, now what's blessed? I say well speaking of God. Okay, admiration for God, acclamation of God, appreciate God for who He is and what He's done for us. And it starts off with verse four. What He had done for us before in the past, and use the past tense. He had chosen us before there was heaven and earth. Verse 4. You can go back to the verses. He's chosen us before the creation. But don't be very thankful just because you are alive, breathing in 2024. Verse 4, it tells us that He's chosen us in order to be what? Verse 4, to be holy and blameless. Okay, God doesn't choose you for yourself to enjoy all the New Year parties. He chose you to be holy and blameless before Him. Holy is what's inside. Blameless is when people see you, they cannot point a finger to what you're doing bad. So that's, he praised God because before the creation of the world, God chose us, you and me, in order for us in 2025, in this church, in your marketplace, at your family, to be holy and blameless. Okay? And then, now, holy is to be clean before God. Okay, blameless is people cannot point a finger at you, to have character wherever you are. So within and without, clean and to have character. So this is what he praised God, or use the word bless, eulogy. Eulogize God because God has chosen us in the past. And in the present, okay, in the present, what he's going to do? Not only the past, in the present, in verse 7, can we go to verse 7? Chose is in the past tense. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Have, the verb we have, that's in the present tense. Just now was in the aorist past tense. Now, in the present tense, what are we to do? What are we? We have redemption through His blood. What's redemption? Redemption is a marketplace word, okay, for buying and selling goods. Not just about salvation, redemption, okay? It's about merchandise. It's a word used for merchandising, used for material goods. And Paul says that we have already been redeemed. God in Christ has already paid the price. He has paid the penalty. He has paid the payment for your redemption. Redemption is being loose. God loose you from sins. God loose you from Satan. And God loose you from your selfishness. And that's what God is saying. Praise God. Bless God. Because in the past, He has chosen us to be holy and blameless. In the present, He wants us to have, we know that we have redemption through His blood. He wants you to know that Christ has paid the cost for your freedom when you're losing from your chains. Okay? And there's a future tense in this passage. It's very, 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 very confusing. Okay? And what's this future tense in verse 10? Can we go to verse 10? Verse 10, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. The times will come when we praise God in faith. We know that the time will come when everything will reach fulfillment. What does he mean? That to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. One day we look for that day when Christ will bring everything under Him. That's the thing we are looking for. What does this bring everything mean in English? It means that in English it's everything is up, okay? And the word bring is the head, just the head. He's going to head up everything. One day he's going to head up everything under him. So this is the beautiful thing about our blessings. Okay, so if you forget everything I say today, just praise God. He has chosen you in the past to be what? Holy and blameless. And in the present tense, we have what? Redemption. And in the future, he will do what? Bring together everything. Now we don't understand. We understand only like 1% of everything that's going on. But one day, he's going to make everything, he's going to bring everything, he's head up everything. That means he's going to be he's the Lord, he's the leader in our lives, and he will let you know what will come in the future. So many of us, like I have my family, three of my closest family members, my mom, my sister, my brother are all very sick. My brother has cancer. My sister has to have dialysis 3 times a week. And my mom just had urinary infection and was in the hospital, paralyzed. So I can ask by faith. I say, one day God will head up everything and will bring everything under his command. And I can trust it to him in faith. Okay. So the first point in Ephesians is that we can praise God as our testimony, that we can say by faith God has done. He's blessed us in the past, he blessed us in the present, and blessed us in the future. Okay. The second point I want to talk about Ephesians is in the new year, not only when praise God, we can also improve in our prayer in thanksgiving. So let's read the next part. 1, 2, 3. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That the power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in present age, but also in the one to come. We Chinese love blessings. I love blessings. Do you know what's my Chinese name? Fok Seng, huh? The middle name. My brother's name is Fok Son. Huh? We in Malaysia love Fok, even though Hong Kong say, yay, Hong Kong doesn't like the word Fok that much. But we love it. Fok Hei, right? Chok Fok. Huh? So let's go into our next PPT from Snoopy. Okay? And this is Snoopy's New Week blessings for us. Let's read. Prayer on Monday. Peace on Tuesday. God's favor on Wednesday. A thankful heart on Thursday. Supportive friends on Friday. Simplicity on Saturday. And joy and praise in your soul on Sunday. Amen. Have a blessed week. Isn't that good? Sometimes we forget about all these things because we think that we have all these acquisitions in life. All these things in life belong to us. Our abilities, everything belongs to us, but it's not. It's from God. So every day in the week, we can love, we can pray in thanksgiving to God, and remember how you can be a blessing to other people too. Remember, God is a God of blessing. In the Christian world, sometimes it's crazy, but we can bless God. But bless means well speaking of God, just admiring of him. And God will bless us in return. And we use that to bless other people in our lives. Right? So the second thing Paul says that because after you receive all these blessings, you learn to pray. And pray as a thanksgiving to God. Now, we can look, Paul, where was he? Remember, where did I say Paul was in now? in prison, right? He's an ambassador in chains. But how did he live his life? He lived his life with, just now we said, with praise, and now he said he lived his life in prayer. Can you imagine how hard it is? Maybe this week you heard about the Russian activist who died, and he was in jail for many years. How are you going to live your life if you are poor, in prison? But he doesn't spend his life having a pity party. He spent his life praising God and asking people to pray. He didn't allow all these hard times in his life to obstruct him, to oppress him, or even occupy him into a life of disappointment, depression, desperation. No. That's not what Paul is about. And that's not what us as Christians about. When we come to hard times, we use that time to bless, praise God, and we use that time to pray for other people. And we go back to the verses. I'm going to teach you some Greek. Embarrassing because my good friend Gilbert is here. Okay? But this is what he's saying. I keep asking that. In Greek, it's called hina. Whenever you see the word hina, it's very, it doesn't occur many times. But I say, I pray hina. Whenever you see the word hina, it's always talking about grand purpose. And what is the grand purpose? It's the verb that God, I pray that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, into a new year, for one of my spiritual sons, I said to him, for this new year, I want you to pray for wisdom. And this is what it's called, Sophia, okay? And revelation is from the book of Revelation, okay? Wisdom and revelation. Now, how is this wisdom and revelation different? Now, wisdom is the understanding. Revelation, there's nothing you can do about it. God unveils it to you. Okay? Wisdom is to have discernment for this year. But revelation, there's nothing you know, but it's disclosure by God. Wisdom is active. You pursue after wisdom. But revelation is passive. You can do nothing. Wisdom is to seek it, sought it. Revelation is to be shown by God. So, God wants us to have both. Okay, yeah, wisdom alone is not enough because you would think it's yours. But with revelation, you know that God has to give you that wisdom too. Okay, and Paul had this beautiful wisdom, revelation, so that you know him better. This is the NIV version, but most translations are wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that powerful? Three nouns: wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, why Paul wants to put that knowledge? Because in the early church, a lot of people go crazy about Gnostics. Gnostics, the word for Greek is still Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Everyone wants to have that private line to God, the special revelation that God said to me, only me. Okay, because very, very charismatic and very Eastern mysticism. But this knowledge is not the same word. It's called epignosis. Up on top, epi is epistle. Epi is knowledge upon knowledge. So God doesn't want us to have knowledge, but that acknowledgement of him. Okay, that knowledge is acknowledgement of him. Not only a wisdom revelation, but it must be surrendered to God. Not wisdom and revelation go bonkers just by itself. To have wisdom and revelation in your acknowledgement of him. So this is what we want to, how we want to grow this year. We want the wisdom, but yet we want to wait on God in revelation. But yet on the other hand, all that we know about, we surrender to God and serve him. And that's what God's prayer for us is this year. And not only that, there's another big thing coming. See the next one? Okay. Paul says that so that you will know what? That your eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and verse 19, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, this is a lot of words, okay? But I want to tell you what Paul's prayer for us is. Not only wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him, he said he wants you, at the end of it, to be able to understand the hope of his calling, the riches, the greatness of his power. For this year, we feel so small. But when you look at God's greatness, even in prison, he understands God's promise and pledge to him, the hope of his calling, right? His calling, his promise in you. You talk about riches, you understand the possessions he has given you and the provisions he has given to you in Christ. And you understand the greatness of his power. You understand his power and his preeminence over everything in the world. So isn't this the prayer we want? Yes, it's not about material. It's having this wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in him so that you understand God's assurance to you, so that you understand his abundance and riches to you, so that you understand his authority in Christ, and that you have a guarantee in your walk with Christ, and you have that generosity in your soul, and you walk knowing the greatness of God. Do you want this prayer? It's very powerful, right? This prayer alone, verse chapter 1, will exhaust you for 2024. If you would just hold on to God's promise. Okay, the third part. First is to praise for this year. Second is to pray. And the third thing is to proclaim him. Okay, now, like Rick Warren always said, it's not about you, okay? It's not about you. Forget you, okay? All God chose you in him and wants you to be able to proclaim in triumph. Okay? I know 2023 is very sad. Everywhere I see people, they are sadder than me. I always say, my whole family is sick. How are you sadder than me? Okay? So we have to 2024 to pick up ourselves, to praise, to pray, and to proclaim him. Let's read the last part. And God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, this is very, very hard, because I got a video today and we got confused about how the video is going to download and how to play it, but we'll try. We'll see if we can get off a good start for... Are we ready? Yeah, it's called One Solitary Life. Jesus, how he lived his life. One solitary life. A lot of words, so please pay attention. Not this one. It's a black and white one. Let's talk about God, Jesus Christ, who grew up in an obscure village. She's the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30 years old. Okay. Volume. He didn't go to college. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. He did none of the things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when public opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. When he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave, through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone. Today, he's the central figure of the human race, the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life. Okay? It's understand about Jesus Christ and who he is in history. I'll send the video to you guys with the music. Miss out on the music. Now, let's go back to the verses 22 to 23. Verses 22 to 23 says that God placed all things under his feet. Okay, this is the body language part, and appointed him to be the head, which is the body language, over everything for the church, which is his body language body. Okay, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So the last point is to we proclaim him in triumph. Okay, let's look back to the scripture, verses 22 to 23. Now, the verb is, I'm a very verb crazy guy, okay? Place, okay? God placed everything. What is this place? Place is a word called hupo. Hupo, hyper is up, hupo is down. Hupo, tasso. Tasso is arranged. God arranged everything under his feet, okay? That means, what does mean under his feet mean? Under his feet, when you're under somebody's feet, you're in that very, very narrow strip of place, right? It's very intense when you're under somebody's feet. So God placed everything under his feet, okay? And God's very insistent in what he does and in passion, okay? And this hupo tasso in the Bible is when Jesus submitted to his mom in Luke chapter 2, and for wives in Ephesians 5, okay? So God put everything under Jesus' feet, okay? And the feet and the head is contrasted, okay? How is the feet and head contrast? Now, this head on the other hand is, now let's talk about feet first. For Chinese, I don't know about you, when I grew up in Malaysia in the 60s, okay, revealing my age now, we run around in our home with no slippers, just the cold feet, okay? But after I met Hong Kong people later, everybody, they wear slippers, okay, because it's dirty and the feet is very personal, okay? So, when Paul uses that feet analogy, place everything under his feet, we don't know, talks about how his sovereignty, and we are just his servant. Okay? And feet means, feet for many people can be very degrading, especially Americans. You ask them to eat chicken feet, they say, what? Do you know where the chicken has been to? Why am I going to eat it? Okay, feet, they're degrading. For them, anyone put their feet near you in Thailand, okay, is very damaging and not acceptable. Not acceptable, okay? But when somebody kicks his feet at you, you're defenseless, right? So that's what Christ put everything under his feet. And you know, the feet, we don't think it's aromatic at all. We look at the feet, the chicken feet, okay, for non-Chinese, not appetizing, right? It's not attractive at all. And like I say, in Thailand, it's not acceptable for the feet to touch anybody, okay? So, and the feet is contrast Then with the head, everything is head, everything is feet. Only he is the head. Okay, what does head means? Okay, I head up a committee. I head up a commission. I head up a company. What's that? What does that mean? That means you're in command, right? You're the guy who's just charging everybody to do their work, and you're the commissioning officer, right? So you're head. So Christ is our head. Okay, and that means he's predominant in our lives. He's preeminent in everything, and also he has the power. Everything is feet. You and I are feet. He is the head. Okay, and he heads over, and the head. He's the head. They use the word instead of hupo. If you like Greek, they use the word the other one, hyper, hupo. Huh? Yeah. When somebody says you're hyper, hyper means you are very excited or you're above everybody. So he's the hyper. We are the hupo. Okay, he's over and above all of us. Okay, that's how you try to understand him. Okay, and we talk about his feet, and finally he talks about his body. Okay, his body, and the body, it talks about everything else. Okay, everything else. You get the feet, you get the head. It's the body. Body is us. A body is everyone else, okay? And why he use all this? It's his body is the he says it's the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now Paul is I'm gonna go crazy trying to tell you what happens in verse 22 and verse 23. He uses two words repeatedly. You don't see it. One is his feet and him. Verse 22, you see his feet and appointed him. And the last word he uses repeatedly is all, everything. Him, his, and everything, verse 22. And you look at the same pattern is in verse 23. Him, fullness of him, his body, fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So he's trying to explain how great crisis in our lives. His power, his preeminence, his predominance. So you try to say his, him, and everything. And he ends it with everything in everything. Everything in every way. It's the same word. Pasa, pan. That's the same word. So he wants to tell us that he is everything, everything you see, visible or invisible. Everything is in Christ. In fact, this word, this phrase in Christ occurs 5 times in this chapter. I have no time for it. It's too exhausting, okay? Why? Because the 5 times in Ephesians is more than any chapter in the Bible. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. What does it mean? That means Christ is our identity. He's in our intermediary, and he is the importance in our lives. It's not about you. Blame Rick Warren. He had this very catchy phrase. It's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about who you are in Christ. He is your identity. He's an intermediary between you and God. And he is the one who's most important in your life. Okay. So Christ occurs 5 times, and the title Christ occurs 10 times in this chapter without the in, just Christ, 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 Christ. So your life must be given to Christ this year. How? You get to remember to praise him, which is the word bless, and remember to pray. Do you remember what to pray? To have what? The 3 words: wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of him. Knowledge is not gnosis, but epi is above knowledge. Knowledge pops up, okay? Only your knowledge in Christ, epignosis, keep you in a relationship with Christ. So, Paul answer three all. Verse 22 got one all, and verse 23 got two all. Everything belongs to Him. Everything is in Christ. So I'll end with five blessings for everybody. Overrun. Okay, let's go. Okay, this is my signature. I made this up. The schizophrenia and me made this up. Bless. Okay, bless. How are we blessed in Christ? First, when you believe. We are here. It's the greatest blessing this week that you are here. Okay, and how are you blessed when you love God? We are blessed because we are given this great emotional charge in our lives that we don't just go sad, but we remember to love God. Okay? And what does E mean? Matthew chapter 5, enduring persecution. It's not all about good things. Okay, we can bless the Lord. Remember the Beatitudes, bless when people revile you. So when you're enduring your hard times, when you're enduring for His name, remember, that's also a blessing. And you're blessed when you serve Him. Okay, I praise God. I see all these young people. I see people of every race and every age. They come here to worship and give off their lives. And we've got a lot of people working, even taking care of children. They are serving the Lord the best they can. And what's the last thing? Sharing your blessings. Okay. Oh, I tell you this story. Just last week, I was very down one morning. And I went to 7-Eleven, and then I went to Fusion to get my bread. And then as I was sitting down arranging my food, two Koreans I know from the swimming pool came by. And we started talking like apples and oranges, like cat and dog. Yo. And I used my, I say, oh, bread. Do you want bread? Do you want I bought two. Bread. No, okay. Bread. So give it to. And we didn't know what we were saying. But after that 5 minutes conversation, we ate and stuff like that. And I went home, I said, wow, I was so down this morning. And now talking gibberish. Woke me up, and I praise God. So remember, when you share from yourself, no matter what you say, what people understand, it's always a great blessing in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, because of your great blessings to us, Lord. Chinese New Year started, but it started even January, the English New Year. But every day is blessing when we keep it in you. Lord, remember to help us, Lord, to praise you every day, to pray for others, and also to proclaim you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.